Mac, John Mathis.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show, and we just have so much fun, my baby love, me and Mike Miller. Woo!
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grow. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain my stardust. The memory of love's refrain.
Now my
my broken heart aches with every wave that breaks over love letters in the sand.
This is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest singer, songwriter, actor, author, humanitarian, and a great American, Mr. Pat Boone. How are you, Pat?
Well, I'm doing good. You make me feel even better.
Well, you've earned all of those things, actually. In my house, you're a hero. Pat, you know, my wife and I have discussed this. You are part of Americana, and whether you like it or not, or it makes you blush, pretty much you're part of Americana. You know, your name is just synonymous with the good things about America. You were born where?
I was born in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right.
And what you were saying about a good name, of course, I inherited a good name from my great-great-great-great-grandfather, Dan'l Boone.
Wow.
Who was, a lot of people, surprisingly, not aware that I am a descendant, direct descendant of the pioneer. And, of course, talk about Americana. I mean, he fought in the Revolutionary War. He
Wow.
was a judge. He was a guide into the what we considered, they considered the New West. It was really our Southeast.
Wow.
but who knew that America was as big as it turned out to be.
And who knew that you were related? There were ball players named Boone, but, you know, you're going back to the roots.
And the actor Richard Boone, of course,
Right.
Gun Will Travel, and an actress on a wonderful, very, very successful show, I think called The Blacklist, is Megan Boone.
Wow,
what
yeah.
a beautiful. I hope to find that I'm related to her.
Wow. And, you know, as years go by, you know, every once in a while you become Debbie Boone's father.
So, oh, yeah, that's a lot of years.
People say, aren't you Debbie Boone's father?
Yeah, and now, listen, the time has kept passing, and it used to be that, you know, they'd ask me, are you Debbie Boone's dad? Now I have to explain to them who Debbie Boone is.
Right, right. No,
because, the generations keep pouring on.
Right. Now, I understand. So your family moved you to Nashville, and of course, you know, some greats came out of Nashville. I mean, you know, I go back to Boots Randolph and Chet Atkins, you know, when you talk about the real Nashville, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's all the good stuff. And they were doing great recordings before the rest of the world figured out how to do good recordings. The Nashville sound guys were really the best in the business. I just know that
yeah.
to be a fact. You know,
that's right, and of course I knew and have been very friends with Eddie Arnold and Chet Atkins and
wow.
Roy Acuff and, you know, the great legends. And of course I married Red Foley's daughter,
right.
Shirley.
Right.
And he's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, as he should be.
And might I add that you're one of the few people from that genre who managed to remain married to the same person all of
yeah.
those years, you know, because the industry didn't pull you this way and that way. You stayed focused, which is a credit
well,
to
you.
Well,
there was a lot of pull going on, but, you know, I was fortunate in that when my career really took off in a blazing flurry, I was 20 years old, married at 19. Shirley and I had our first child at 20.
Wow.
And by the time I graduated from college at Columbia University at 23, we had four kids already.
Wow.
And, I mean, I was 23.
Evening shadows make me blue when each weary day is through. How I long to be with you, my happiness. Every day I reminisce, dreaming of your tender kiss, always thinking how I miss my happiness. A million years, it seems, have gone by since we shared our dreams, but I'll hold you again. There'll be no blue memories then. Whether skies are gray or blue, any place on earth will do, just as long as I'm with you, my million years, it seems, have gone by since we shared our dreams. But I'll hold you again. There'll be no blue memories then. Whether skies are gray or blue, any place on earth will do, just as long as I'm with you.
Papoose Chevy Showroom on ABC, which sometimes was number one in the ratings. I'd had a bunch of hit records. I'd made some movies, and I graduated magna cum laude at 23 because I thought I was going to be a teacher, preacher still at that point.
Right.
So it was an incredible streak, and it continued for years because I preceded Elvis, thank God, by 11 months. And in the 11 months, Mike, I don't know what your research may have showed you, but
right.
I didn't know it. It happened too fast for me to keep up with. But from March of 55, when I made my first R&B record,
right.
And we called it Rock and Roll, Two Hearts, Two Kisses.
One heart's not enough, baby. Two hearts make you feel crazy. One kiss makes you feel so nice. Two kisses put you in paradise. Two hearts, two kisses make one love. Two hearts beat as one, dear. Two arms make me know that you care. I have plenty of loving. Two kisses hotter than loving. Two hearts, two kisses make one love. Loving you, baby, is my desire. I know that you could set this world afire. A little spark is burning deep inside. Love should be made by two. One heart's not enough, baby. Two hearts make you feel crazy. One kiss makes you feel so nice. Two kisses put you in paradise. Two hearts, two kisses make one
until February of 56, I had 6 million selling singles, two of them number ones, in 11 months. Now, nobody does that. It's never been done before or since. And, of course, that Elvis broke with Heartbreak Hotel in February of 56. So, thank God I had 11-month blazing start, which continued then for about 4 years without ever being off the single chart.
Right.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
said, we'll part, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Farewell, goodbye. Although I'll try, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Farewell, goodbye. I'll cry, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
Crazy little mama coming, knocking, knocking at my front door, door, door. Crazy little mama come, knocking, knocking at my front door. Crazy little mama come, knock, knock, knocking, just like she did before. I woke up this morning with a feeling of despair. I telephoned the baby, but she wasn't there. Heard someone knocking, and much to my surprise, there stood my baby looking in my eyes. Crazy little mama come, knock, knock, knocking, just like she did before. If you got a little mama and you want to get along, teach your little mama right from wrong. Tell her that you love her like you did before. She'll come knock, knock, knocking at your door. Crazy little mama come, knock, knock, knocking, just like she did before. Crazy little mama come knocking, knocking at my front door, door, door. Crazy little mama come knocking, knocking at my front door. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking, just like she did before.
Bop, bop, booty bop, 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 booty bop. You want to get along,
teach your little mama right from wrong.
And if you tell her that you love her like you did before, she'll come
knock, knock, knocking at
my door.
Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking, just like she did before. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking, just like she did before.
Gonna go tell Mary about Uncle John. He says he had the blues, but he has a lot of fun. Oh, baby, yes, baby, ooh, baby, I'm having me some fun tonight, yeah. Oh, well, long, tall Sally has a lot on the ball, and nobody cares if she's long and tall. Oh, baby, yes, baby, ooh, baby, I'm having me some fun tonight. Well, I saw Uncle John with a long, tall Sally. He saw Mary coming and he ducked back in the alley. Oh, baby, yes, baby, ooh, baby, I'm having me some fun tonight.
on the ball, and nobody cares if she's long and tall. Oh, baby, yes, baby, ooh, baby, I'm having me some fun tonight, yeah. Well, I saw Uncle John with long, tall Sally. He saw Mary coming, and he ducked back in the alley. Oh, baby, oh, yes, baby, ooh, baby, I'm having me some fun tonight. We're gonna have some fun tonight. Gonna have some fun tonight. We're gonna have some fun tonight. Everything will be alright. We're gonna have some fun. Gonna have some fun tonight.
Well, the planets had to be lined up the right way, but also... Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that you had the intelligence to do anything that you wanted to do, because a lot of these singers started early. They never went to school. They never finished school. They signed contracts when they were 15, 16 for Motown, yeah, or this or that, and they never really furthered their careers. When did you first realize that you could really sing a good song, when people said, oh, my goodness, this guy can sing?
Well, really, it was while I was in high school. I sang a lot around my hometown, very musical town, Nashville.
Right.
There were a lot of other singers, of course, but I was the kid who lived out on Lone Oak Road who knew all the current pop tunes.
Right.
And though I was involved in sports and in the student life at a Christian high school, when people called me and asked if I would come sing for their ladies' Shakespeare club or the Civitan or the Junior Chamber of Commerce luncheon or a high school talent program of some kind, I would do it. There was a lady, a piano teacher named Ruth Mowry, and she knew all the tunes too, and she could play in any key, and she, like me, just never learned how to pronounce the word no. I could spell it. I could spell N-O, but it always came out, okay. And so I would sing at every invitation,
right?
All over town in Nashville, and of course I learned that I could sing any of the pop tunes that Perry Como, Eddie Fisher, Frank Sinatra,
wow,
Dick Damone, Nat Cole, that they were singing, and I could sing them, and people liked the way I sang them, just with piano accompaniment. So, and also at that time I was leading singing in our church meetings and on Sundays,
right,
in worship services, and we had a cappella. We didn't use a piano or an organ in our,
right,
church services. So as a kid, high school kid, 15, 16, 17, I was leading congregational worship, waving my hand, trying to beat the meter or the time of the song and lead the congregation with my voice, a cappella, 500, 600 people, no mic. I didn't know it. I wasn't looking at it that way, but it was tremendous vocal exercise and strengthening. So when I went on television locally, they turned on the little red light. I mean, to me, it was
right,
just...
more of the same.
It was just like a room full of ladies in their Shakespeare club, yeah, or a tea.
So you never did the street corner R&B mimicking
Black guy. My brother Nick, 1 year younger than I,
right,
he was into he was into rhythm and blues. Mm-hmm. There was a station in Nashville,
right,
WMAK, that played all the what we call black, or it was even called,
right,
late music,
right,
and he was into that, but I wasn't. I was into the pop tunes. I was imagining myself, not that I thought I ever would be, but I was imagining myself as a pop singer, like Perry or Eddie Fisher.
Right.
And of course, because I was willing to sing for nothing, I never asked for any money, and so I would show up and sing the pop tunes free. I did a local radio show while I was still in high school called Youth on Parade. And I would be the MC of this Saturday morning radio show, and teenage talent would audition somewhere. I was not part of the auditioning process, but I hosted this half hour radio show, or was it an hour? Maybe it was an hour.
Yeah.
But it flew by, and I did, when there were any commercials, I would do those too. And I'm a high school kid, and I'm hosting other high school kids who could sing or play piano or make music some way on the radio.
Well, that's fabulous experience, for, you know, for a young guy. The planets will lined up really good. I'm going to throw something at you, which is a little bit of a curve. In addition to my singing career, I was in education, and I was a dean in a very tough Bronx junior high school.
Wow, that's what I was going to do, I thought.
And two of the kids that I had were Paul and Jimmy Keys. Now, their father was Jimmy Keys from the Chords, who wrote Shaboom. And he used to come to my office, of course, about his kids, who weren't great kids, but he would do career day, and he would tell the long saga of how the Chords with Shaboom died on the R&B charts, and the Crew Cuts recut it, sold millions of records, made millions of money, and the guys who were the black artists who wrote these tunes died on the R&B charts. And of course, you know, one of the things, if you really dig into the Pat Boone story, was the fact that Pat made a really fabulous career out of taking some of those R&B tunes and recording them for the what we call, quote-unquote, the pop market rather than the R&B
market. Yeah, and that market, of course, was closed to the original artists. Nobody played them on pop radio. And when a pop artist like I or Elvis or several others would do a rhythm and blues song off of the rhythm and blues charts, and introduce it to a big pop audience, largely white, then that song became not only a much bigger hit, but it attracted attention to the original artist in most cases. Maybe not always. I remember the Chords, but I guess a lot of people don't.
Right.
But they sure remember the Crew Cut.
Exactly right.
I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I've been to the east, been to the west. She's the gal that I love best. Tootie fruity, oh fruity. 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 I got a gal, her name's Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. I got a gal, her name's Daisy. Almost drives me crazy. She's a real gone cookie. Yes, sirree. Pretty little Susie is the gal for me. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Ooh, tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity. I got a gal, her name's Daisy. Almost drives me crazy. I got a gal, her name's Daisy. Almost drives me crazy. She's a real gone cookie, yes siree. Pretty little Susie is the gal for me. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity. Tootie fruity, all fruity.
Well, you know, and Fats, of course, you know, listen, I have a Fats story that was told to me by one of the big agents. They said when Fats had his first hit, they wanted him in Vegas, and his contract ran out. He was supposed to be there for 6 months, and the agent got a phone call back saying, we want to hold this guy over for 2 years. And they said, oh, my God, is he doing that great? And they said, no, he's really not doing that great, but he owes the casino $150,000.
Well, listen, you could add the names of some very big actors, pop artists, and film actors who worked there free, including Sammy Davis,
right.
Harry Fisher, who they built up hundreds of thousands of dollars
I know.
Of debt, and they would come in and work for nothing.
Hey, Shecky Green was one of them. He lives in Florida now. He's 84. I saw him in the deli not long ago. I turned around and said, Shecky? He goes, Green, why? I had a long conversation with him when I was talking to him. I says, are you still working? He says, yeah, I'm 84. I tell 4 jokes a year. He goes.
What a funny man. He can't help it. He is just a funny, funny man.
Right. Well, I could go on and on and as far as, you know, the cover hits that you've had as well as some of the actual Pat Boone, you know, tunes. Now, let me ask you this. I know about the one big tune that you wrote, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but
yeah.
Previous to that, were there any of the Pat Boone hits that you actually wrote on your own?
Well, not the really big ones. I was sprinkling some songs that I would write. There was a very inconsequential record, but it's still around. And it's called Great Cougar Mooga.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a DJ in New York on a black station, and his name was Jocko Henderson. He was very popular. Came out.
Oh, I know Jocko's Rocket Ship. I remember the show.
Yeah, and he said, "This is a great, great Cougar Mooga. It's great."
Yep.
And he would roll his R's.
Right.
And his show started. He called it the Rocket Ship, and it started with the sound of some rocket blasting off.
Right.
You'd think it was War of the Worlds or something when his show started like at 9 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
And as it took off, and then he'd say, "This is Jocko Henderson with the greatest show on the radio." And great Google.
This is Jocko, engineer Bud, the big rocket ship show, the fastest moving show on the radio, saying, greetings, salutations, ooh, Papa Do, and how do you do? You ready for the big ride to your race from outer space, huh? What a good deal. Button your lips, comb me another box. It'll be transcribed, recorded, and topped. Now, close the hatches. Passengers, fasten your seat belts. Prepare to blast. -6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Take it up. Captain at 0.
And so now, I was entranced. I just was tickled with him and his manner. So
right.
When I started my television show on ABC, and we had to have a name for my production company,
right.
I said, let's call it Cougar Mooga.
Uh-huh.
They said, what? What are you talking about? And I told them where I had heard the phrase. And they said, well, no, but nobody can say that. What does it mean? I said, it doesn't mean anything. But the year I started my show, I was the youngest guy ever to do a musical variety show. And
right.
The same year, they were doing 17 new musical variety shows. So you said I had an intelligence. I thought, I'm never going to last.
Uh-huh.
I'm the newcomer. I'm not going to last. Everybody vying for musical guests and so many music shows in one season. So I said, what difference is it with what we call our company? If it says at the end of the show, this has been a Cougar Mooga production, maybe somebody will tune in next week just to see that again. What was that?
Wow,
and,
wow.
And so we called it Cougar Mooga Productions, and at one time I had 120 or so people on the payroll connected to the show, musicians and technicians and everybody, and they all got checks, Cougar Mooga checks, which
wow.
They couldn't cash anywhere
wow.
Except at the bank.
When the sun goes down, you start you running around. And when the sun comes up, you're still out in the town. Well, a great Cougar Mooga ain't gonna last for long. Well, a great Cougar Mooga ain't gonna last for long. Yes, great Cougar Mooga, yes, you know you done me wrong. Hop-a-roo the Cougar Mooga. Hop-a-roo the Cougar Mooga. Hop-a-roo the Cougar Mooga. Hop-a-roo the Cougar Mooga. Yes, for great Cougar Mooga, yes, you know you done me wrong. When the sun goes down, you start you running around. And when the sun comes up, you're still out in the town. Well, great Cougar Mooga ain't gonna last for long. Yes, great Cougar Mooga ain't gonna last for long. the Googamooga. Hopperoo the Googamooga. Hopperoo the Googamooga. Hopperoo the Googamooga. Yes, my great Googamooga. Yes, you know you done it wrong. Hopperoo the Googamooga, hopperoo the Googamooga, hopperoo the Googamooga. Yes, my great Googamooga, yes, you know you done me.
Now later I was with Jocko at a show at the Apollo, and I said, Jocko, I used your phrase as the name of my a production company. He said, what is that? I said, Googamooga. He said, it's not Googamooga, man. It's Googamooga.
Oh, there you go.
It's Googamooga. And I, you know, I had called mine Googamooga, so he couldn't sue me for using his name.
Well, you know, you had to sharpen up your Ebonics. Do you know that basically Jocko was really the first one to coin Sakatumi, you know, before Laugh-In started using that?
I did not know
that.
Yeah,
he would say Sakatumi. But, you know, he would play a record, he'd say, sock it to me.
Well, you're one of the few people I've ever talked to who even remember Jocko Henderson.
Oh, yeah, I remember them all, you know, basically, because I love the music and I study the music.
Great booga mooga sooga booga.
I almost lost my mind. Number one in 56, and you were outpolling Elvis. And I think it's wonderful. They kind of brought some adjectives along with Pat Boone, you know, the wholesome guy, the white bucks, the polished guy, the nice guy.
When I lost my baby, I almost lost my mind. When I lost my baby, I almost lost my mind. My head is in a spin since she's left me behind. I went to see the gypsy, had my fortune read. I went to see the gypsy and had my fortune read. I hung my head in sorrow she said what she said. Well, I can tell you people, the news was not so good. Well, I can tell you people, the news was not so good. She said your baby's left you, this time she's gone
that polished, nice guy,
well,
white
yes,
bread guy?
I plead guilty because, see, as I say, I was married already. Now, that somebody asked me recently, were you the first teen idol?
Right.
And I tried to think of anybody that was a teen idol before 1955.
Right.
And I couldn't think of one. I mean, because the the singers who were big then, including Eddie Fisher, who was very big, as you remember.
Right.
But I could not remember any pop singer. Frank Sinatra was well into his 20s before
right.
he became a big hit. Perry Como, all of them. Bing Crosby. I mean, I kept going back, and I couldn't think of anybody who would have been described as a teen idol before 1955. And
wow.
so, of course, I may have been the very first, but... And I was on America, the American Idol precursor of Ted Mack's Amateur Hour.
Right.
At 18 and then 19. So I had a big teen following, but from the very start, the teens knew I was married. And they knew
right.
year to year we were having children, and I was in college. So I was living a very straight life. Along comes Elvis 11 months after I began, and he, of course, is single. He's dating starlets. He's being banned on some stations. And,
right.
And preachers and legislators. And, for instance, one of the DJs asked him, when are you going to get married and settle down like Pat Boone, have kids? He says, and he it was on TV, and he gave it that little leer of a smile sideways. Why should I buy a cow when I can get milk through the fence?
Yeah, and I hear you.
of course, that sent shockwaves through a lot of the country. Parents saying, you can't buy any more of that guy's records. And, of course, it made him bigger with the kids.
How many hours do you want?
Oh, okay. I don't have to have it. Okay. I got some. I'm all shook up.
Everybody's entitled to one stupid ass mistake.
You should have one in there, man. Should have one in there that you can use.
But it was just a joke, but he was living a single playboy kind of life, and the rebel, and breaking a lot of conventions and rules, and becoming bigger all the time. I was a guy playing within the boundaries, living a life that most kids could actually identify with.
Yeah.
Going to school, getting married young, having kids, and going to church, and, you know, living a real straight kind of life.
Yeah, but as much as everybody loved Elvis, look where his recklessness got him. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it does come full circle and everything. Here you are, you know, General Motors is endorsing you. And I read a little story where they said they gave you a Corvette and then eventually they had to give you a station wagon because you had the kids and the family.
Hey, have you heard about the crazy new way to send a message today? It flashed on a screen too quick to see,
but still you get it subliminally.
Put on your specs, pull up your chair, and see if you can see what's coming through the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 59 Chevy.
See it?
Isn't it beautiful?
Some car, huh, folks? That was the 59 Chevy just then.
All new, all over again.
In case you missed it going by,
we're gonna give you all another try. See it? Now bet you've seen the new Chevrolet
in a somewhat subliminal way.
We hope that you'll place your order right now
for the 59 Chevy.
Here's how. Just go see your Chevrolet dealer right now.
The 59 Chevy's due out Thursday, October 16th. But you can get the details and place your order in advance.
So come right in.
And right away to your Chevrolet dealer. For Chevrolet.
See it?
Well, actually, the last 2 years of the Chevy show, they gave me both. I had the latest model fuel injection Corvette and the biggest station wagon for the kids, because by the time I graduated, as I say, at age 23, we had four kids. I should have been neutered or jailed, one of the two. I mean, it was ridiculous, but we were trying to have a boy. We had four girls instead. And in fact, we weren't trying to have any of them, I must confess.
I hear you.
They were all surprises, but wonderful surprises.
It's different. My wife and I, Paulette and I, are together about 10 years. She saved my life. I was just like hitting around after, you know, a couple of divorces and whatever. And I met Paulette, and she's just, you know, she's been so wonderful to me. She picks up my crumbs and hands them to me. And I always say women were put on this earth to keep men from hurting themselves.
You're right. You're right. And Shirley and I have now been married 62 years.
Wow.
And that says something about the kind of woman she is.
Oh, yeah.
And also that we set our feet down. I determined when we left New Jersey, because I was doing my Pat Boone show in New York, but we lived over in New Jersey because I didn't like concrete.
Yeah, you were in Leonia. My parents were in Fort Lee for a long time.
Oh, yeah, Fort Lee, that whole part. Of,
yeah.
And we were in Teaneck.
Yeah.
Leonia first, then Teaneck.
That's Isley Brothers territory, Teaneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we wanted trees and grass in the neighborhood, and so we moved to California.
Right.
And we set up shop out here, but I said, honey, we're going to live by Tennessee standards.
Ah.
And she often says, well, what does that mean? I said, it means we're going to live like we still lived in Nashville, where we grew up. We're going to be going to church on Sundays. You know, we're going to have a happy family. Marriage and family is going to be more important than career, although career was very, very important. And I was gone at least half the time in some of those early years. And Shirley kept the home fires burning and said, let's do this for Daddy. Now, Daddy wants us to do this and that, and don't do this. And you can't watch TV in the afternoons too after you've done your homework. And, you know, all these, I had a rule when the girls were, all girls, of course,
right,
attractive, intelligent girls. And before they were old enough to care, I established a rule there would be no single dating.
Wow.
Until the girls were 16. Now, you will not go out on a single date with a guy until you're 16. Well, when they were 9, they didn't care.
Yeah, right.
But when they got to be 14 and 15 and all the girls around them were being allowed to go out on dates and groups and my girls, we kept them home until they were 16. And, of course, they chafed a little bit. But
I hear you.
Later, when we were a family act, because as they were all becoming teenage girls at once, we had four teenage daughters, we became the Pat Boone family.
Right.
And Shirley, who could sing like an angel, and
wow,
the four girls, and I, we became for 8 years, we did TV specials, we traveled, we did fairs, we were performing, we were the Brady Bunch, but we were the real thing.
Well, my wife and I have five daughters. Between us, we have two grandchildren that are in college and daughters, and we had now the first boy who's a year and a half, and then my wife's youngest is now pregnant again, and guess what? It's a girl. So a lot of estrogen in this house, not much testosterone. And, you know,
well,
I tell my wife all the time, I say, you know, if it was 40 years ago, I'd be a king. I say, mm-hmm, but now in the year 2016, I'm only a man.
Yeah, you'd have been a sultan with a harem.
Yeah, you know.
But I tell people that I've grown up in an all-female environment. My wife, my four daughters, all of our pets, and even the electrical outlets in our house are all female.
Right. There you go. That's pretty good. Well, you know, I'm going to say this. Ain't That a Shame, Tutti Frutti, Long Tall Sally, Crazy Little Mama. Now, also, you recorded I'll Be Home by the Flamingos.
Yes.
Terry Johnson is the only flamingo left. He's a good friend of ours, and we go
and
out to eat with them all the time.
I just about doing a possible show in December with the Flamingos.
Well, let me tell you how you got that phone call. Teresa called me, and I called Dan, and Dan called you. That's how you got it.
Yeah, well, we haven't worked it out yet, but
yeah,
and a lot hinges on how my wife,
I understand,
health goes, because she's been having some serious problems that are undefined. We haven't figured out exactly why she can't sleep and,
oh boy,
and her tissues.
Well, they're going to tell you fibromyalgia, but don't believe them.
Well, she had that and had a miraculous deliverance from that some years ago. So it's not fibromyalgia, but we just don't know. So I'm most of my plans are somewhat tentative because
I hear you.
I don't want to be gone when Shirley really needs me.
No, I hear you. But the first thing I thought of when Teresa called me out of the blue, she said, let's get together and break some bread. I said, you know what? I'm speaking to Pat Boone. She says, my God, we're doing a show. I'd love to have him. My lead-in from all the other cover tunes and you know, the R&B going to the pop market leads me to a very important subject, which is your writing of such an important tune as Exodus, having written the lyrics. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, I had read not only Leon Uris' book, Exodus, when it came out, the history, you know, a modern retelling of the history of the people of Israel, but the formation of the new state and what they went through in 1948 and after. So I'd read that book. It was thrilling to me because growing up in Nashville and being in church since I was an infant and our Bible, our family being a Bible reading family, and my dad a building contractor and mom a registered nurse, very practical professions, but our involvement in church and reading the Bible and spiritual things seemed just as practical to us as their construction business or nursing. And so I was thoroughly familiar with the history of the people of Israel. So the book was fascinating. Now the movie comes out with Paul Newman and Otto Preminger directing and a great, great film called Exodus. And that beautiful melody Ernest Gold had written, bum, 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 bum,
right,
bum, 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 bum. And, you know, it gave me goosebumps. And then the Ferrani Teicher piano duo record came out.
Right.
And I wanted to sing that song. I was aching to sing the song. Well, my manager, formerly a publisher, Jack Spina, contacted Chapel Music that published the melody and said, Pat Boone wants to sing that song. Where are the lyrics? And they said, there aren't any, and they're not going to be any. And Jack said, why? He said, well, you know, it's a wonderful hit instrumental, and professional writers have submitted lyrics, but there are three men who have a right of veto power. One is Ernest Gold, the composer. One is the publisher, Chapel. And then Otto Preminger, the director, producer of the film. And when professional writers have submitted lyrics, one or more of the three have turned them down. So it looks like they're not going to be any lyrics. Well, I was disconsolate, to use a good Phi Beta Kappa word.
Right.
And so it was Christmas Eve in 1959, and Shirley was begging me to help her get the Christmas packages under the tree so we could go to bed because the girls were going to get us up early. We knew that in the morning. And I was putting a needle on the Ferrani Teicher record over and over, hoping to get an idea for a lyric I could submit to a professional writer.
Right.
And so I said, honey, wait a minute, I want to hear this one more time. And for about the 40th time, I put the needle down on the 33 and a third record. Bum, 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 bum. The words, this land is mine, came to me. I thought, wait a minute, that's the whole story. Those four words.
Right.
Of Exodus. Bum, 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 bum. God gave this land to me. I said, I got to write this down. I picked up something with a white surface and started writing. In 30 minutes, I had written the whole lyric. I crossed out one or two words and put something down. But in 30 minutes, I had the lyric as it became of the song. It came as fast as I could write.
Wow.
So we submitted it after we wrote it on something else and submitted it to the publisher, who immediately submitted it to Otto Preminger and to Ernest Gold. All three said, yes, these are the words.
Wow.
Nobody trying to find a rhyme for the word Exodus, but making it a very personal statement of a man and a woman, take my hand, walk this land with me.
Right.
Walk this golden land with me, though I'm just a man when you're by my side. with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Wow.
And until I die, this land is mine. Well, I recorded it. Randy Wood Dot Record gave me a beautiful, huge arrangement. It's one of the best things I ever recorded. And, of course, it was released, but Ferrati and Teicher already had the huge hit on the instrumental.
Right.
And it did okay, but the as it kept going, other people recorded it. My great regret is the three tenors didn't do it. Andy Williams and a lot of other people did finally record after this, but mine was the original record of the lyric, and it became increasingly the second Jewish national anthem.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals the hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be golden land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong. This land our own. If I must fight, I'll fight to make this land our home. Until I die, this land is mine.
Cut ahead to 2 years ago. I was in Israel for the 20th time.
Yes, you told me a wonderful story the other day, and I would love you to tell that story.
I was with Mike Huckabee on a tour group. We'd gone with him and his family, and we brought some guests too. And it was our 20th trip. And we get to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, and we've been through it, and it's a harrowing, mind-numbing, heartbreaking thing. But everybody should do it at least once. Go through. And let nobody ever tell you there was not a Holocaust or 6 million Jews. What they don't forget to tell you sometimes is there are at least that many Christians who resisted the Nazi regime and the extermination, attempted extermination of Jews. There were Christians who also perished and were put in concentration camps like Cory Ten Boom. But anyway, and considering I did not go through the tour because everybody, we'd done it, we didn't want to be weeping like we had been again. So Shaya Ben Yehuda, who was in my office just yesterday from Israel having a new visit.
Wow.
He came up to me, and he's the director of that Holocaust Museum, with tears in his eyes. He said, "You don't know what that song means to us here in Israel, especially at Yad Vashem. In fact, we have a campaign underway to make sure that every Jewish child in Israel knows those words by heart. They may not be able to sing the song. It's not the easiest song to sing, but we want them to know those words that you wrote." And he said, "Would you, by any means, whatever you wrote those words on, be willing to will that parchment or document to us here? We put it on the wall of the righteous Gentile here at Yad Vashem." Well, I was teary then, and I said, "Look, I'll give it to you right now. I don't have it with me, but I will get it to you, but right. I have to let you know. I wrote those words on the back of a Christmas card."
A great story.
And he says, "Wonderful, because it underscores the true support we know we have from evangelical Christians, and it's perfect. So if you'll let us have it, we will display it prominently here at the Holocaust Museum, along with Oscar Schindler and many others who Gentiles and Christians who saved the lives of thousands of Jews during the Second World War."
Wow.
So, of course, I came back 2 years later, which was about a year ago, again with Huckabee, and we had a big ceremony at Yad Vashem, and I had the card framed, and it's now on display.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And you told me that Netanyahu calls you Speedy Gonzalez. I thought that was the best part.
Yeah. He was in school, I think, MIT.
Right.
As a young college student, of course, his English is flawless. I mean, his college education, a lot of it was here in the States.
Right.
So he was a fan while my career was really going great. And he loved Speedy Gonzalez. So the first time we met, he said, "Hello, Speedy."
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas. Suddenly, I heard the plaintive cry of a young Mexican girl. "You better come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Tannery Road. Stop all of your drinking with that floozy named Flo. Come on home to your adobe and slap some mud on the wall. The roof is leaking like a strainer. There's loads of roaches in the hall. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, I have to go shopping downtown for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili pepper."
"Your dog is gonna have a puppy, and we're running out of coal. No enchiladas in the icebox, and the television's broke. I saw some lipstick on your sweatshirt, I smell some perfume in your ear. Well, if you're gonna keep on messing, don't bring your business back here. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, come quick. Down at the cantina, they're giving green stamps with tequila.
That's funny.
And every time we've met since then, and in this last trip, this year, March, I did the only concert I've ever done in Israel, full concert, at the big Man Theater in Tel Aviv.
Wow, wow.
And it was sold out, and overflowing and broadcast live on 88 FM, which is Israel's biggest
radio
station. So, and I'd never had a concert of mine broadcast live on the radio.
Wow.
That didn't happen. I said, isn't that going to keep people away if they can hear it free on the radio?
Yeah, well, you know, now they have pitch correction, all these sound guys, you know. It's like, and when we do this, you know, like in the doo-wop and the R&B genre, we don't allow that because we need all the guys to be able to go out there and do it just the way they did it.
Yes.
Pat Boone, for those of you who don't know, wrote so many books, so many self-help books.
Mm-hmm.
Pat also was in so many movies. I mean, you know, my wife, when April Love comes on Sirius, I have to pull over. I don't care if I'm on the Florida Turnpike or sitting in the driveway. When April Love comes on, we have to pull over and listen. I just need to tell you that. And my wife is a very interesting girl. She was Miss Maryland. Then she went to the Miss USA, and she was the runner-up in the Miss World. And I will tell you that having watched the Miss World contest, you know, the other night,
yeah,
it ain't what it used to be. You know,
your wife is a looker, as they say.
Well, yeah, you know, Pat Boone is somebody really and truly that has transcended every genre, started at an early age, and you're still here and you're still singing and you're still viable and you're still doing shows, you know, which we talked about, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, did you do the Villages show?
Yep, that was this last week.
How did that go?
It went great. It was sold out, and we videotaped it, Mike.
Wow.
With four cameras. I've never done this before. Because we figured, well, you know, how many years am I going to do this anymore? Am I going to do it anymore? So
we
did a show I call Music and Memories, and it's not with my five musicians and a full orchestra.
Right.
It is with my conductor and a tech guy, and we use videotapes. I sing live, two tracks, and live as Dave, my conductor, plays piano. But I do a lot of live singing, open with April Love, and go from there. Of course, we play Exodus later on a videotape that I did from Masada, overlooking the Dead Sea in Israel. But it's a show that employs video clips from my TV show. So I sing with Ella again. I sing with the Nat King Cole.
Right, and you did sing with all the greats. I mean, you know, duet with Ella.
Got a good group out there.
Yeah.
Well, our couple may stay mad for a while, but it'll all thaw out.
Yeah, trouble never wins when the music begins.
That's what they say.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. Do I, 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 do I.
Makes no difference if it's sweet or high.
Just give that rhythm everything you got.
Oh, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Do I, 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 do I. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
But did it not get it done?
A thing, all you gotta do is sing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot.
Just give that rhythm everything you got.
Oh, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Makes
no difference if it's sweet or hot.
Just do that rhythm, everything you've got.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do what, do what, do what, do what.
a lot of duets. In 2006, I understand, you put out another R&B classic CD.
Yeah.
Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Soul Man, Get Down Tonight, which is, you know, you just keep digging deeper and deeper.
Well, yeah, you know, I did those with the original performers, as
right.
you know. And I think that my record of Papa's Got a Brand New Bag with James Brown is the last thing he ever recorded. He said, hey, Pat's got a brand new bag. Hey, get down, Pat, get down. And we did that in Augusta, and I'd never met him. In all those years, I'd never met James Brown, and we called him on the phone to ask if he'd be part of this album of rhythm and blues classics, along with Smokey Robinson, Tears of a Clown, Way of the World with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow.
Your Family with Sister Sledge.
Wow.
Can't Help Myself with the Four Tops. And so James Brown said, yeah. And he said, we get him on the phone to thank him and say, I'm coming down to Augusta. We'll do it. He said, let me ask you something. He said, what'd you get for a one-nighter? And I mean, we haven't even met you except on the phone. I said, well, it depends, James, on whether it's with my full band, whether it's my five guys only, I can do a self-contained show, or if I'm part of a show with somebody else. I mean, it depends. He just, but he wanted a figure, so I gave him a figure, and he says, I tell you, I want you to do a couple of shows for me. Open up for me. Put you right back on top. And I said, James, if I do a show with you, and people come to see you, they're not going to want to hear me. And my audience is not sure they want to hear James Brown, because
right.
not as much. I said, but if we do this song together, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, then it will make sense if we team up in a show somewhere, which I would love to do. Well, we did the record, and he was great. Did it down there in Augusta in his studio, our song together. And you can tell that we're having a ball. We ended on a vamp, you know, fading out. And
right.
he's supposedly putting on his cape and collapsing, and then they have to... The
right, right. Baby, please don't go.
And I'm saying, where are you going with that cape, James? What is that, the split? You don't think I can do that? Watch this. Whoop. And then I say, help me up, James.
Well,
I think I heard something pop. And it's funny the way the record ends.
I'd like to know, are you ready for some super dynamite soul? Thank you, because now it's star time. Introducing, ladies and gentlemen, a man that's going to bring you some R&B classics. Among these R&B classics are tunes that will never die, such as Celebration, The Tears of a Clown, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, A Woman Needs Love, Soul Man Shotgun, Can't Help Myself, That's the Way of the World, Get Down Tonight, Hi! Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, Pat Boone!
Come here, sister, Papa's in the swing. Ain't too hip now.
record. It's almost his record.
What should have happened was you should have won his elevator boots and he should have won your white butts. Now, let me ask you, are you still wearing the white butts? I'm sure when you go, when you
do
your
shows. Well, I don't wear them on stage.
You don't, huh?
I wear white boots, always have, because of the outfits that I wear, the white suits. You know,
right.
Johnny Cash was a man in black. I've always been the man.
I wore a white jacket the other day and I did a show. That's why I couldn't come up to the Villages and whatever. And I had this white linen jacket on that my wife bought me. And let me tell you, I got more compliments on the jacket than anything else.
Well,
and I said, it's all my wife. She does it all.
Well, she's got taste, I know. But the bucks were compared to the boots, which, you know, it's a sartorial taste of the boots, which are very, slim-line boots. I wear those with my outfit. I think it looks better on stage. The Bucks have kind of a clunky look. I love them, and I still wear them. And the Bass Shoe Company supplies me with a half a dozen pairs a year with
right.
my name embroidered on the tongue of the shoe. So you know they're mine, and I wear them a little bit, get them just a little bit scuffed, not much, and then I sign them and give them to charities. And they auction them off. I don't know what the people do with them. Size 11, 11 and a half white buck shoes. They make good planters, I'm told.
time. If you look way down
in your heart and soul,
yeah, don't hesitate.
Classic.
Every girl I've ever seen. Oh, you're
separate parts are not unknown, but the way you assemble them's all your own, all yours and mine, dear Bernadine. Oh, Bernadine. Oh, 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 Bernadine. Say you wait for me out by the rocket base, and we'll both blast off into outer space. And oh, 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 Bernadine. Bernadine, oh, Bernadine. Come away with me now in my rocket propel machine. We'll come home by the way of a driving spa, just a little this side of Shangri-La, and there I'll stay with Bernadine.
I'll stay with Bernadine.
There I'll stay with stars, a wishing star that shines for you. April love is all the seven wonders. One little kiss can tell you this is true. Sometimes an April day will suddenly bring showers, rain to grow the flowers for her first bouquet. But April love can slip right through your . So if she's the one, don't let her run away. Sometimes an April day will suddenly bring showers, rain to grow the flowers for her first bouquet. But April love can slip right through your fingers. So if she's the one, don't let her run away.
I know that the liberal media has been tough on you because they think you are a deeply embedded conservative only with the thought of always wanting this country to be the best country and not water it down and not thin it out and to preserve what our forefathers meant this country to be. And people that know you know that a lot of people have pounded on you. I heard the interview with Tavis Smiley, and he tried to like catch you and beat you, whatever. And Pat Boone always comes shining through in what he believes, because I know that your conviction is very strong. And not to go into the politics of it, we had that talk the other day. But
but you just worded my philosophy very well. I don't have to do it.
Yeah, we're on the same page when it comes to that. And, you know, we just want accountability in this government and in this country. We want people to strive to the bar that we've set you know, for this country in America without continuing to lower it, because that gets it nowhere. And, you know, the proof of it is that the schools are now not the first on the planet. The airports, I just found out, were 25th on the list for efficiency and safety. All of those things, when you put them, you know, on a list, are things that we've lost.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, the energy is to try to get that back. I'm not saying who's at fault. I'm not saying who's going to fix it. But it's just something that I wanted to share with you because I know that you feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know if I said it to you. I forget and things I mean to do and think surely I did, but
right.
I didn't. Whether I got you a copy of an autobiographical book with 200 pictures in it I wrote a couple of years ago called Pat Boone's America.
Right.
50 years. Did I get you a copy of that?
No, you didn't, but I will...
I'd like you to have it.
At one point.
I enunciate all these things, and the point I make in the book, and I had to be... I'd written other autobiographical books, but
right.
I said, look, I've done that, but the publisher said, yeah, but you've lived 10 years since your last book. You must have a lot more to say. And I said, look, I will do it on one condition, that I'll tell my story and update it, but I want to overlay what's been happening to my country in the 55 years of my career.
Right.
Because America today is not the America I started out in.
No, I agree with you.
And there's been so much ground shifting under me. I've been trying with my wife and kids and close friends to live like we lived in the 50s according to the same principles.
Right.
That we grew up with, that we believe they made America who we are, and all those things are being threatened and eroded and taken away, and even in some cases, preachers are being accused of hate speech because they quote the Bible,
right?
And it's not something they made up; it's what God says, and it used to be the guiding principles. Our founding fathers consciously based this republic on Judeo-Christian principles,
right.
And it was they were unashamed. All the colleges, universities, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, all of them were Bible schools when they were founded, and now of course they teach anything but the Bible, and so we are drifting away from our moorings, and so I said I want to call it Pat Boone's America 50
right.
years.
Well, you know, I'm a Jewish kid that only marries Italian girls. So, you know, there you go. I've been to more midnight masses than a lot of people I know. You know, something that kind of drives it home was a story that I heard about Don Rickles once stopping in the middle of a joke with Johnny Carson because you were sitting next to him on the couch, and he said, "I can't tell the punchline not with Boone sitting next to me."
Right, exactly. That's exactly what. And I'm just sitting there, saying, "Hey, I've done my part.
Yep.
You do yours." But there was in my position in the entertainment industry out here in California. And it's not something I wanted, and in fact, I wish it wasn't so, but my very presence has been, seemed intimidating to some. I was only on the cover of the Rolling Stone once.
Right.
And, the guy who wrote it, said after he had done all this, foraging all through the entertainment community in Southern California, and Jan Winner, the publisher, admitted in the editor's comments, okay, what's Pat Boone doing on the cover of the Rolling Stone? Well, we sent a writer down to the L.A. area and turn over the rocks and find out what crawls out on the real life of Pat Boone, you know.
Right.
So the guy did that, and he asked very intimate and direct questions of people in many walks of life, what's your opinion of Pat Boone? And he said, I only got two opinions. Oh, I like him. He's nice. I like his music. Fine guy, whatever. Or I can't stand him. He makes me sick. And he said, are you aware of that? I said, yes, that's been the story of my life, and I don't know why. I think people, it's not a reaction to my music, because my music has been very successful and very popular with millions of people. So it must be a reaction to my lifestyle, or what people, the impression they have of my lifestyle, that they feel that my very success as a outspoken conservative Christian in the entertainment business is somehow an indictment of them, and they wish I would go away. and it's not what I intend.
Right.
I mean, you know, I respect everybody, and I don't expect them to agree with me, but I also feel like it's my right, privilege, and even duty to express what I think our country ought to be and how we ought to live, because that's what worked for us. That's what made us who we are. And if we keep changing our very DNA, we will not continue to be the country that we were. So, you know, there's a black preacher in Washington. I went back to be one of the very, very few entertainers who would stump for a marriage amendment.
Right.
Defining marriage as between a man and a woman.
Right.
Well, of course, the press was hostile, and there was John Hagee there. There was Jerry Falwell there.
Right.
Talking about the Bible. Well, this one angry writer for one of the top media outlets said, look, you people are preachers, you're religious, you quote the Bible. Can you give any reason for there being for marriage being defined only as between a man and a woman other than the Bible? Because most of us, many of us, don't accept that as a final authority.
Right.
And this black preacher said, yes. He said, first of all, if you don't believe the Bible, check Webster's dictionary.
Yeah. And then, there you go.
And then he went beyond that. He said, by the way, water is H2O, which is two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Now, you may say, well, I'd rather be two parts oxygen, one part hydrogen. You can do that, but you get hydrogen peroxide. There's only one way you get oxygen, two parts hydrogen, one.
If it's any consolation to you, we went to see my good friend Peter Lemangello. I don't know if you remember him.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he's a neighbor, and I see him all the time. He'd be thrilled that you remember him. He opened up for Don Rickles for about 40 years, and we saw Don Rickles at the Kravis Center about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Joan Rivers opened up for him, and Don went about a third through his show and then started telling the same joke over again and got totally lost. And he said, oh, did I tell you that one? And people started to walk out, and oh, he's screaming at them, I hope you can't find your car. He's going,
right.
it got really ugly.
So green and still, more than the mulberries on the hill, more than the buds on the May apple tree, I love thee. Arms have I, strong as the oak, for this occasion. Lips have I to kiss thee too, in friendly persuasion. Thee is mine, though I don't know many words of praise. Thee pleasures me in a hundred ways. Put on your bonnet, your cape, and your glove, and come with me. For thee I love. Friends,
phrase. The pleasures me in a hundred ways. Put on your bonnet, your cape, and your glove, and come with me. For thee I love.
I want to say this, Pat. I am so thrilled that you are still singing and pleasing your fans, you know, after all of these years, and still doing shows all over the country. And
I just finished, by the way, my third movie, Mike.
Wow.
I thought I was through making movies, of course, but they're now making, some are, successful faith-based family films.
Wow.
And, you know, one was Heaven is for Real. I was not in that one.
Right.
That's about the little boy, 4 years old, that went to heaven and back after he died on the operating table.
Right.
And then God's Not Dead with Kevin Sorbo. Both these have done anywhere to $80 to $100 million
right.
at the box office. So
right.
I did God's Not Dead 2, which is in the theaters now.
Uh-huh.
And it, too, is grossing very well, and I play a grandfather. And then I did a film called Boonville Redemption, which is not out yet, but it's a feature-length film for theaters. And it's about, it's based in a little town in Northern California, actually called Boonville. And it's a drama of Western that takes place. I, again, play old Doc Wood. I look like Ted Turner 10 years from now. But then I have a mustache, and so I play a character part.
Ah, cool.
And then I just finished another film called Cowgirl Story.
Wow.
About a cowgirl and Bailey, or what's her last name, a young, very popular teenage actress.
Right.
And it's about a cowgirl that goes to an urban school, and they make fun of her because she's from the country and rides horses. And she eventually gets all of her teenage friends interested in riding horses, and then the drama is her mom's a helicopter pilot in Afghanistan. Her dad's
wow.
one of the rangers in the military, and she earns their respect because of that. And then there's some drama when her mom disappears, the helicopter goes down. I won't tell you the whole story, but I play a retired Marine chaplain.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the film, and it's very well done, and I think it's going to be a very popular film, I get to recite the 23rd Psalm
no.
as a Marine chaplain at the happy ending of the film.
Right.
And so here I am at 80, I just turned 82.
Wow.
So I've begun my 83rd year, and I'm in demand. If they know out here in California, if you need an old Walter Brennan type, Well, I think he was the real McCoys, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But you were like a doc from Gunsmoke.
Walter Brennan, Little Luke and Hashi and Pepino.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
What would Pat Boone say to fans who started with you early on with April Love and are still Pat Boone fans and play your records in their jukebox and on CD? What would you say to those people that are still with you?
Well, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm patting myself on the back. The phrase that comes to mind is, nice guys finish last. Elvis and I were friendly competitors, and we were friends. We were two Tennessee boys, and of course, his star shone very brightly, still does over 30 years later. But he died at 42, and here I am twice that age now, and still going, and still performing, and still married to the same woman, and I thank God for it. It's not because I'm been any exceptional person, but I did subscribe to the right kind of principles and have aimed high.
Right.
I haven't always hit the mark. Who does?
Right.
But I've aimed high, and there's a value in that, and so I recommend it that living by tried and true principles is a path to longevity. And not just in the entertainment business, but in anything. And so, you know, I've been blessed. I've been blessed because I've tried to be a blessing to others, and it seems to work that way. And do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so those are the principles I live by.
Right. But,
and then I sing by. I've never made a film or recorded a song that wasn't G-rated, family fair. So, you know, that, I think, has worked. It's called me, people have called me square for my whole career.
Right.
I even wrote a song, which I ought to send to you, called Are There Any More Squares Out There? I based it on Merle Haggard's Okie from Muskogee, turning the word square
right.
into a real compliment, and I used to sing it in my shows, and the audience, including young kids, would be cheering and pumping the air when I say, are there any more squares out there? Folks that believe in the golden rule, help me prove I'm not a doggone fool. Are there any more squares out there? Yeah! And the audience would be cheering, yeah, I'm a square too.
My wife always tells me that the golden rule is, he who has the gold makes the rules.
I thought you were going to say, behind every man there's a great woman.
Oh, there
out
is.
Of the way.
There is. Pat, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I'm actually thrilled to know you. I'm thrilled because I've not only taken interest because I'm a musicologist, but I'm also a fan. And I would just want to thank you so much for your time.
Listen, it's great to talk to somebody who is a peer. That is, you've been around as long as I have, just about, and that you really pay some attention to what I'm doing. That's always the greatest compliment anybody can get, and you've paid me a high compliment, so thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you. I hope Shirley is doing well.
Well, I'll let her know that you've expressed your concern, too.
Absolutely. Give her a kiss from myself and Paulette.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Pat. God bless you.
Thank you, man, too. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Peccatoribus, ora, ora. peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis, in hora mortis nostre.
It's cold
and I can keep you warm. Don't forbid me to kiss your lips, darling, don't forbid me to kiss your lips. Let me pretty baby, I've been blowing. You need some heartwarming love, so don't forbid me to talk sweet talk. Darling, don't forbid me to talk sweet talk. Let me feel lovely melody we danced to, the sweet confusion when we met, we never spoke a word, and yet we knew. I'll remember your smile, the way it warmed me in the moonlight, the way my heart began to melt, the strange affection that I felt for you. To think that only a moment ago we were no more than strangers, and now my heart tells me that we are strangers no more. So whatever befalls our little world of joys and sorrows, I'll remember tonight for a thousand and one tomorrows. To think that only a moment ago we were no more than strangers, and now my heart tells me that we are strangers no more. So whatever befalls our little world of joys and sorrows, I'll remember tonight for a thousand and one tomorrow.
Daddy, I love you. You make 80 look really fun, so well done. When your love
keeps leading nowhere. Empty days and endless nights, with that happy journey's end so far from sight. But when your love, when your love, there's not a
we come to the special feature of our program, the appearance of a mystery celebrity for which my friends on the panel are blindfolded. Blindfolds in place, panel?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Good. Will you come in, mystery challenger, and sign in, please? Come to our mystery challenger, we go to a different form of questioning. You will ask one question at a time, in turn, moving clockwise, and let's begin with Miss Hedy Lamarr.
Are you in the entertainment world?
Well, yes, you might say that.
Sir?
Are you a member of the cast of one of the big motion pictures playing along Broadway at the present time? Maybe way up on Broadway. Not right on Broadway, though.
That's a fair answer, Bennett. Miss Kilgallen?
What was the answer, John? I didn't hear.
Maybe way up on Broadway, but not right on Broadway.
Do you have any connection with the world of pop music?
Well, yes, I do.
Do you play an instrument?
Well, play ukulele a little bit.
Beg pardon?
Play a ukulele.
Play a ukulele a little bit.
Play
on
ukulele.
That, and I hope nobody's injured. One down,
got
nine
you.
To go. Miss Lamarr.
Did you ever make a picture in Europe?
You mean no, cinema kind of?
A cinema, yes.
No.
Two down and eight to go, Mr. Sir.
Have you ever appeared in a roundup of young stars who leaned to rock and roll?
You mean in the movies? Rock and roll?
Either in the movies or on something like the Alan Freed roundup at the Paramount Theater.
Oh, no.
Three down and seven to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Do you sing?
Yes, you do, yes.
Mr. Gable,
have you appeared in legitimate plays?
No, sir.
Four down and six to go, Miss Lamarr.
Is your singing your main occupation at the moment?
Well, yes, I think.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sir?
Have you appeared or are you appearing in a nightclub? Have you ever appeared on a Broadway nightclub?
No, sir.
Five down and five to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Take a guess.
Are you chiefly known at the moment for your popular recordings?
Well, I've sold quite a few, but I'm no Bing Crosby or nothing.
Now, I would say, to be fair, that our guest is well known for his recordings, whether he is chiefly known for the recordings or another area of work would be a decision for you to make yourselves. Mr. Gable.
Do you lead a band?
Well, no, sir.
Six down and four to go, Miss Lamarr.
Do you act as well as sing?
Well, I have in my time, yes.
Mr. Sir?
You did at one time act as well as sing, you say?
Well, he says he has at one time, yes. The supposition is that the capability is there and is called upon.
Have you ever specialized in either Western or hillbilly songs?
No, sir. No, sir. I didn't.
Seven down and three to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Would you be qualified to play Sportin' Life in Porgy and Bess?
Well, depends on how it'd be written, you know, but I never been called on.
So I think we'd have to give a no on that. Eight down and two to go, Mr. Gable.
Have you ever played in Porgy and Bess?
No, sir. No, sir.
That makes it nine down and one to go, Miss Lamar.
Do you also dance?
I can say a real strong no to that.
Ten down and no more to go. You should have gone to television. Pat Boone.
Send a little girl for me to thrill. A girl who wants my kisses and my arms. A girl with all the charms of you. Venus, make her fair. A lovely girl with sunlight in her hair. And take the brightest stars up in the skies and place them in her eyes for me. Venus, goddess of love that you are, surely the things I ask can't be too great a task. Venus, if you do, I promise that I always will be true. I'll give her all the love I have to give as long as we both shall live. Venus, goddess of love that you are, surely the things I ask can't be too great a task. Venus, if you do, I promise that I always will be true. I'll give her all the love I had to give as long as we both shall live. Hey, Venus, oh, Venus,
wish come true.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay. All over St. Louis and down in New Orleans. All the cats want to dance with the sweet little 16. The sweet little 16. Just got to have about a half a million famed autographs. A wallet filled with pictures. She gets them one by one. Becomes so excited. But won't you look at her run, boy? Whoa, mommy, mommy, please may I go? It's such a sight to see somebody steal a show. Whoa, daddy, daddy, I beg of you, whisper to mommy, it's all right with you. 'Cause they'll be rocking on Bandstand, Philadelphia, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay. Well over St. Louis and down to New Orleans. All the cats want to dance with the sweet little 16. Little 16, she's got the grown-up blues. Tight dresses and lipstick, she's sporting high-heeled shoes. Well, but tomorrow morning, she'll have to change her trend and be sweet 16 and back in class again. Well, they'll be rocking on Bandstand, Philadelphia, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay. Well, over St. Louis and down in New Orleans. All the cats want to dance with the sweet little 16.
Wait for me till then. No matter when it will be, one day I know I'll be back again. Please wait till then. Our dreams will live though we are apart. Our love I know we'll keep in our hearts till then. When all the world will be free, please wait for me. Although there are oceans we must cross and mountains that we must climb, I know every game must have a loss. So play that our loss is nothing but time. Till then, let's dream of what there will be. Till then, we'll call on each memory. Till then, when I will hold you again, please wait till then. Till then, when I will hold you again, please wait till then.
see the pyramids along the Nile. Watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. Just remember, darling, all the while, you belong to me. See the marketplace in old Algiers. Send me photographs and souvenirs. Just remember, when a dream appears, you belong to me. I'll be so alone without you. Maybe you'll be lonesome too and blue. Fly the ocean in a silver plane. See the jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember, till you're home again, you belong to me. I'll be so alone without you. Maybe you'll be lonesome too and blue. Fly the ocean in a silver plane. See the jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember, till you're home again, you belong to me.
Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place
we
that we used to go, when we were feeling down
and
we were low.
Mm-hmm.
open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all